The concept of history is a multifaceted thing. We've got what's written in our books, we've got what's recorded through various governmental organizations, and we've also got personal family stories passed down from generation to generation. Well, KVSE Radio, in conjunction with the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the Stearns History Museum, is producing a new series about our history, and it's called The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota.
Yep. All right, talking with Iowa Jeff for KVSE News, and I'm Karina Borash, and Iowa Jeff is our arts and cultural heritage producer for The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, celebrating 100 episodes recently.
Yep, a couple of weeks back. And it was Patrick Scully, who is a performance artist down in the Twin Cities, came up and gave a performance of his one-man piece, Leaves of Grass Uncut. This is about Walt Whitman and some secrets within Walt Whitman's life. And it was a one-man piece when he was performing it in a backyard performance, but it is actually a multiple... There's multiple, how shall I put it? Well, there's multiple performers involved, yet there's not. It's kind of a neat thing. It's down in the cities running here, so maybe go see that and check it out or something.
I'm sure it's online already, kvsc.org/podcast. Mm. And you can check out all of the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, which, since we were just talking about the 100th episode, why don't we back up 99 episodes? Talk about the first episode and how USCM got started.
Yeah, right on. It is kind of a partnership. It started out as a partnership between Stearns History Museum and KVSC. I get a lot of material out of their programming. Either it's their breakfast club or different exhibits that they have, because they've got a lot of neat stuff that goes through there. But this particular one was there was Steve Huell was his name. He was presenting at a breakfast club how the ferry system throughout Minnesota on the rivers determined basically where cities, where towns or anything became, that's how they were founded, where two rivers came together. Well, like, for instance, here in St. Cloud, you've got the Stock River coming into the Mississippi River. And when that happens, it kind of does something with the river and it makes it a little bit easier to cross. So that's where these ferries, the ferry system, became important. Because, of course, the Mississippi, it's this very long river that cuts through the middle of the country.
Very long, large river, yeah. Yes.
And basically everything to the east of the Mississippi at this point in time was considered civilization. And everything to the west of the Mississippi was considered wilderness. And as Americans started going further to the west, then they had to cross the river. So that's where these mm-hmm. towns developed, usually on the east side of the river. And Stock Rapids was much larger at one point than St. Cloud, and that was the jumping off point into the wilderness, where these cities on the east side of the Mississippi. So that's where St. Cloud came from. And then, of course, we've got the tornado came through and basically wiped out Sauk Rapids, which made St. Cloud grow. And then there's another untold story about that as well. So they all it's kind of interesting over the last 100 or so episodes how a lot of these have tied in together just with our history and culture. So that's kind of cool.
When did you start airing episodes? So the one about the fairies, do you remember how long ago that was?
This, I think, was 2012. Is when that started. I've been the arts and cultural heritage producer here since 2009. The legacy of Emmett passed in 2008, and then there was, everybody's like, oh, what are we going to do with stuff? So then there was coordination and things here, and then I was hired on in 2009. A few years go by, and then I was just doing arts reporting, basically, at that point, the arts culture collage and just basically anything that was art, and I would go cover it, art crawls and other things. But then 2012, the position got a little bit more focused, a little more narrowed into this culture, if you will. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I still cover a little bit of arts because the arts talks about culture. So there you have it.
Do you ever see yourself giving up your producing position as the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota go-to guy?
Well, you never know where you're going until you get there. So, something could come up that, carries me off to a distant place, but you never know. But this is It's a pretty cool family here down at KVSC, and
I agree with that.
Yeah, and also just, you know, the community is really cool, and it's I don't want to use the word comfortable because that's almost like complacent, but in actuality, that's kind of what a lot of people are looking for in life, is something which is comfortable. They're not, yeah, I mean, there's still struggle. They're still, you know, looking for stories and talking to people and everything. And it's a fun time just chatting with people and then putting together a nice half hour story. But you know, like I said, you never know where you're going until you get there.
And you've actually interviewed some of KVSC members and volunteers for the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, one being our punk rock guy, Zach Asphodel. What did you talk to him about?
Well, just, you know, the nature of punk rock, kind of.
He'd have a lot to say about that.
Well, yeah.
Zach knows punk rock.
Yeah, he's been doing this show for over 20 years. And it's more than just some little genre of music. There is an international community that they've been in contact with. This is like pre-internet, too. Many of his stories were pre-internet, about how he would discover different bands through different zines. You know, zines, what are those? You know, but, you know, this is back in the day before blogs and all that stuff. And he would get in touch with these bands and he would play their music on the radio here. And then he would go elsewhere. He went to England and ran into some of these bands. And it was quite the interconnected community. And this is punk rock. So, I mean, imagine there's that with the other communities, other musical communities as well. But this is a little bit different because he's part of our thing. That's that power of music, and it keeps you going. I mean, especially little stories like that, all those different things. And you know, every once in a while, I'll get a phone call while I'm on air, and somebody be like, hey, you know, this has really, really hit me today. Thank you. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And yeah.
Exactly. It is an amazing energy boost. And I have always been very excited when I get a call, you know, request or a call, you know, for whatever reason, occasionally, you know, get an email or something like that that just, you know, says, hey, nice job, or I heard this band, or I really wanted to know what the name of that song was you played, because that was, you know, that was a good one.
And then also one of the founders of KVSC, Andy Marlowe, this is back, you know, 1960s. Nowadays, you know, he does some things for some other radio stations, but also he is a Santa Claus. He does that, and he does a very good job of it. So I got to interview Santa as part of this position. So that was kind of cool too.
So you never know which way a story is going to take you.
Well, sometimes you got some good ideas. You know, I mean, if we're gonna, you know, talk about a certain specific program or something, yeah, we're going to be talking about that, like, you know, like the Scar Dolls, you know, the St. Cloud Area Roller Derby. You know, we're going to talk about roller derby. But then when you begin talking with them, there are these underlying sub-stories, like, you know, the different people involved, they're coming from all these different backgrounds, and how these backgrounds are blending together under one topic, that's where things start to become kind of interesting. And that's where you begin to find things that you weren't sure were, or you didn't know were out there until all of a sudden you're running into it. And then it's like, well, how do we, you know, then the editing comes in and you're stitching all these things together to become one thing. And then there's this kind of, I guess you could say, a hidden topic, but it's not all that hidden. Sometimes it's right there. You just got to see it.
Now, you did two interviews with the Scar Dolls, if I remember right. One was pre-USCM.
Yep.
And then you did a follow-up with them.
Let's say the first one was about, well, what is this roller derby and everything? So I showed up at one of their practices. They were at the Burnix skating rink up there in Sartell. They were up there, and this was before one of their bouts. The name of the event is The Scar Dolls Present In Pink We Trust, Support the Bust, which is also a fundraiser for breast cancer. Put on your helmet and strap on your wrist guards as we meet the ladies who make up the Scar Dolls.
I'm Dita Von Payne, and what brought me to roller derby, I'd seen the Minnesota Roller Girls play, and I thought it looked like a lot of fun. Wanted to give it a try myself. I was kind of tired of running and thought I'd try something new with my athleticism.
And I was just talking to a whole bunch of them, you know, anybody who would talk. Some people didn't really feel like talking, so that's cool. Others just would talk a lot, and that's cool too. So then you can get like these interviews because, you know, some people just don't want to talk, and that's fine. But
some people get scared by the idea of radio and, mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want people to listen to me.
Yeah, there's a microphone and all that. The first one was a big, you know, well, what is this? And then the second one was a little bit more focused. I had three of them come into the studio, and because they do fundraisers is what they do. When you pay a ticket price to go see them, some of that is going towards a cause of one thing or another. So I had them, this is maybe a couple years since they had kicked off, and you know, I had them back into the studio and kind of talked about, well, how have things been, and also what is this cause you have.
Roller derby is huge.
Yeah,
it's nation, globally. Even I can't even say nationwide, but it's globally. And
yeah, one of the fastest growing sports in America, and that was back then, and it probably continues to be so too. Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting that we've got that tie to roller derby right here in St. Cloud.
Oh, absolutely.
And you've got the whole scoop.
Maybe not the whole thing, but, you know. It's neat, though, because there are some friends of mine, and, you know, that's the neat thing about Facebook is just mm-hmm. kind of stay friends with people. And there are some that were part of the Scar Dolls that have left, and, you know, they moved. You know, so now I know some roller derby folk, like, in New York. And, you know, it's still going on, and that culture is still there. It's just growing. It was kind of neat.
Now, backing up a little bit, you were mentioning that you got to interview multiple of the team members. Now, has anybody, even outside of the Scar Dolls interview, has anybody left a lasting impression on you that you can look back and say, wow, I got to interview them, and that was incredible?
Yeah. And sometimes that gets a little surprising. Okay, so folks that have really made an impact, well, there's a few of them. One was Jerry Henson. He wrote a play, kind of a musical, The Marriage of Tomorrow and Sorrow. Now, he lives kind of over by the Sartell Walmart, and he's got this, he and his wife have this old farm, and there's an old barn, and he has converted that barn into a bookstore. And it's kind of appointment only, but it's pretty amazing. Now, what's really amazing about him, he was the first person from St. Cloud to enter into the Vietnam War. He and his friend from St. Cloud, they went through boot camp together. They went into the 101st Airborne together. And then his friend, whose name, unfortunately, I can't remember off the top of my head, was the first casualty from Minnesota, either Minnesota or St. Cloud, one of the two. Double check that, I guess. But he was the first casualty of the war from at least this area, if not Minnesota. And that made a lasting impression on this man's life. And he was 18 at the time. There is definitely, and that is something that has traveled with him throughout his whole life. Bella Pethio was another one. He helped found St. John St. Ben's art department way back when. He was a refugee from Hungary, I believe. He escaped a communist government to come here. And, you know, built his reputation as an artist. He didn't come directly here, but I mean, he University of Chicago, University of Northern Iowa, there were many steps along his way, but he ended up winding up out at St. John's, and he was amazing as well. And then, you know, there's been some others that just have, you know, come through that, you know, they do. You talk to these people and they have a lasting effect on you. Paul Baker Hernandez, that was another one. He travels up here. He's from Venezuela. Actually, he's from England. He was a monk in England. And then somebody introduced Bob Dylan to him, a Bob Dylan tape. And he was like, I'm not going to be a monk anymore. I'm going to go travel and do other things. So he went to Venezuela and became a musician, but still had, you know, those monk-like values with him.
I'm a guy that likes snow, solitude, and silence. So I live in Managua, Nicaragua, which is one of the hottest, noisiest, and most overcrowded cities on Earth, and I love it. But I come here every now and again for a little, getting chill back out. To chill out, exactly. Chill out, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, what led you to music?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, this is going to take forever, okay? So we're going to have to expand this program enormously.
He travels around and you know, talks about peace and, you know, why we need peace and why war is, you know, ultimately going to just completely wipe us out as a species. You know, so he traveled through Minnesota as well. And then there's others that aren't just super famous or anything. It's just, I talked to one of my friend's mothers who was in her 90s. She was a nurse, and her husband, who had just passed away maybe a year or so before, you know, they were in their 90s, and he was one of the first doctors. He was a rural doctor here in Stearns County, the Griffin family, and their experiences just with, you know, how they did things back in the Depression, before the Depression, and how things have changed, and yet how things, you know, certain things are the same, you know, the different values that people have that you need to hold on to, you know, like, you know, friends and family and how those work together. And they're not just words, though. It's just what's positive, what's bringing out the beauty inside people instead of what's beating people down. There are things, always things that are going to try to beat you down, but it's the resistance to that and lifting each other up. That's where the story comes from. And it's kind of neat.
So it seems that a lot of these stories that you've covered too, they're not just directly related to the central Minnesota area. Maybe these people have just passed through and left some sort of an impression on the area.
Well, a little bit. And that's kind of the nature of these kind of things, too, as the nature of, you know, humans nowadays. It used to be when you were born somewhere, there's a good chance that you were going to live and die within 50 miles of where you were born. Yeah, that's...
Oh, boy.
So are you from here?
Nope.
Okay, see, you're passing through too. So there you go. Well, it's ironic because I grew up in Iowa, you know, thus the name Iowa Jeff. But that's a different story in itself, actually. But
it's for another podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we might have time for this. Who knows? But he, what was I saying?
Being from here.
Being from here, because it's kind of the same with when I was in Iowa. I grew up in Iowa, and growing up there, you want to leave. There's other stuff out there. So I think a lot of people do that from here, from anywhere. You know, you grew up someplace, you leave, and you end up maybe coming back, or you find something that's kind of similar, it's kind of comfortable, but you know, you never know where you're going until you get there. This place, you know, a lot of cool people have come through here. Either they put down roots and they've stayed for a very long time, and we've definitely got some families that have been around this area for a long, long time. And you know, I mean, even going back into, you know, the different Native American tribes that are around here, too. Mm-hmm. These folks have been here longer than us, you know, and obviously. But, you know, it's that kind of the relationship between how people are, well, always traveling. You're always going someplace, you know, even with a job. You know, I've had this position for, you know, since 2009. Am I going to be here for 40 years? I don't think so. But you never know. That's the nature of then coming back to the untold stories is, you know, these things have happened. And, you know, from Paramount Theater and the, you know, the Pioneer Place building when that turned 100, you know, the different things that have gone through there. Now the Pioneer Place is a staple of our artistic community, as is the Paramount. And the Paramount was almost razed because it was falling apart. And then, you know, people stepped up, different community leaders, and they're like, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to make things better. We're not just going to let this stuff fall apart. Then we've got this lasting history. One of the stories I did before the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota was I interviewed the late Larry Hawes, and he was part of this community for a very long time. And he was a, you know, state representative, but he also did like 30 years plus within the parks department here in the city. The reason we have over 90 parks in St. Cloud is because of this guy. And, you know, so I talked to him. We weren't talking politics. He was so happy not to talk politics. It was an election year when I talked with him. I'm like, I don't want to talk politics. I want to talk about the parks. And he was like, yeah. So we had a great conversation about that. That was something he cared about.
I want to throw you for a curveball now. If you could do an untold story of someplace else other than central Minnesota, where would you focus your attention and what kind of story would you like to cover?
I don't know if it'd be necessarily a where, but a what. And that's kind of the strange thing, because there's, you know, there's weird stuff that goes on just about everywhere. Well, because a lot of this stuff, you don't know that it's out there. So would I do like an untold story? I mean, an untold story of something going on in Duluth. You know, I don't know what goes on in Duluth. I got a couple friends up there, but day to day, I have no idea what's up, nor do I know much of the history. However, I know that there is history. Mm-hmm. I caught this great little news story on the tunnels in Duluth, because it's on a hill, so they got all these different tunnels that lead down to Lake Superior, and a lot of them are like sewer tunnels, but some of them are other tunnels, and yeah, that seems neat, but there's all kinds of stuff like that all over the place. You know, some of these old stuff, like maybe New York or something, you know, you got all these old strange things that used to happen, but you know, you could get that just about anywhere. A long time ago, I used to live in a town called Nederland, Colorado. It's outside of Boulder. I went to grad school in Boulder. I lived up in the mountains, and in the museum in Nederland, Colorado, they've got a frozen dead body, because this guy, when he passed away, he wanted in his will that he wanted to be frozen and revived later. So when he passed away, his relatives threw him into a deep freeze freezer, and there he still is, and they have a festival for him every year. Now, of course, a deep freeze.
I can't help but laugh. That's really nice of his relatives to.
Well, you would think so, except for the fact that's not cryogenic freezing. Cryogenic freezing is like it's like hydrogen or like liquid nitrogen level cold.
It's Han Solo style.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas just throwing somebody into a deep freeze you can get at Walmart, it's not. Oh, no, man. That's not going to work. So that happened. And, you know, so it's not more or less like the where, but the what. You know, what kind of things are out there? See, I think this comes back to just about any story I'm looking for is, you know, somebody is faced with a struggle and they might not even know that they're struggling, but then they get involved with something, and then that not only changes their life, but it changes the lives of their community members too. So when somebody does something, they're like, you know, I got an idea, something needs to change, and I'm going to be that change. And then they dive into whatever project they're doing, and then all of a sudden that has a ripple effect that changes the lives of a whole bunch of other people. Well, like the Peck Farm, it was one that I did too. They're out of Richmond. They donated a bunch of their land, and now it's kind of a nature preserve. Students come out, and there are eagles all over the place, and it's pretty neat. So it's not necessarily a where, but a what.
So where is the farthest place that you've gone for a story?
I'm gonna... Let's see. That might be a time I have to get out Google Maps or something. I've been to Sauk Center. That's pretty far out there. Melrose a couple of times, Avon a couple of times. The Mille Lacs Indian Museum and Trading Post, been up there. Been down to the cities once, but that was a different kind of thing. There was an exhibit down at the Minnesota Historical Society. I went and did there, but yeah, not that far, you know, because it's, well, Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. How far
Central
is that?
Central Minnesota.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Sauk Rapids.
I guess you can make up your imagination on that
one. I know. Well, I've called people that have been in other places.
Okay,
so
that counts.
There's a little bit of that, but I don't know if that's the same thing.
So looking forward, you know, you've produced 100 episodes, and this doesn't count, P.S. Uh-huh. Where do you see the stories going in the next 100 episodes?
Probably just more of the same. I'm really interested in getting involved with some of the retirement communities around here, because there are folks that have these great stories about how things were and how things have changed. And, you know, they've got their individual things going on. But at the same time, you've got to balance, there's privacy. And as people age and get much older, the memories, the stories might not be exactly as reliable. And I definitely want to make sure everybody looks good. This isn't like the hard-hitting reporting of there's a scandal I'm going to dig up. That's not quite it. This is more like, hey, there's a neat story that you might find awesome. It's more of that vibe. And I don't want to get into a situation where all of a sudden somebody's like, oh, you talked to my grandfather and you made him sound kind of crazy. And it's just like, well, yeah. So there's a weird little balance there. But, you know, talking to some of the folks that have been around and seen a lot of stuff for a while. Also, other innovative things that people are doing around the community. There's, you know, like I've talked to, you know, the organizers behind like Operation Baby New Year. And that came out of another story and another group I was involved with, this thing called Making Music for Making Changes, where, you know, they would do a fundraiser music thing every month. And one night, they were just going to raise money for Anna Marie's shelter. And then Anna Marie's is like, well, money is cool, but, you know, we actually just need diapers. So then it turned into a night of 1,000 diapers, where we actually got 1,000 diapers donated in one night. And then that then turned into this other thing where now there's hundreds of thousands of diapers being donated to various community organizations that need diapers. And, you know, it's things like that. As you look for that, you know, where's the vacuum and what's the thing going on here that, you know, nobody's really seeing? And it could be just right in front of you. It doesn't necessarily have to be history, although history is important.
Do you accept story ideas from people?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And I can definitely, you know, work with a conversation to make it into, you know, a larger piece. We've kind of put that out there here and there. And, you know, sometimes people get a hold of us, sometimes they don't. info@kvsc.org, that's a good email address, or news@kvsc.org, then you get it, and you're like, Jeff, you want to do this? Sure, you know, that kind of thing, or
yeah,
vice versa.
Yeah, stories that have potential for longer coverage that aren't as pressing issues of news.
Exactly.
Yeah, we kind of tag team that way.
But you know, so it's, yeah, definitely there's all sorts of different ideas. There's a list that I'm currently going through. I sent out an email to the SCSU faculty staff listserv thing about this very thing, just saying, hey, what do people have going on? Because I'd like to talk to you about it. Like, there's, have you written a book lately? Professor Chris Lehman from SCSU, he wrote a book about slavery in the Upper Mississippi Valley. You know, and there was slavery up this way before the Civil War. Or how did the states up here deal with it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because it existed elsewhere, but then, you know, people would come up to Minnesota from the South and they'd bring their slaves. Well, how did the Minnesotans deal with it? He wrote a book on it, and he's a professor here. So I'm like, yes, I would love to talk to you. And there's actually, there's three interviews I've done with three different authors, and they're all, you know, just different professors at different institutions around Minnesota. And, you know, there is a history of the history of civil rights and African-Americans and everything. It's not just all of a sudden the Civil War was over and poof, everything was all nice and happy. This has been a different developing thing for years and years and years, and it still is. You know, you can trace this stuff all the way up to Black Lives Matter today, and that is going to continue to evolve as well. It's not just going to be over. And that's kind of a thing that I've found about this history reporting, is very rarely are things just over. You know, something happens and then there are the repercussions that echo out into the future.
And we are talking story ideas and future stories for the untold stories of Central Minnesota, produced by our arts and cultural heritage producer at KVSC, Jeff Carmack. And here's to 100 episodes more, because you've produced about 100 episodes in less than 4 years.
Yeah, the untold story has been about that, and then another couple of years before that. I think my grand total is somewhere around like 160 for a half-hour podcast. So, yeah, it gets easier as time goes on, because when I started, it was like, how do I do this? Click, click, click. Now it's just like, I can actually turn around an interview in less time than it takes me to do an interview, which is nice. And that's a thing that, you know, you learn as you go, because my background was not in journalism.
And I wish we had more time to delve deeper, but thanks for talking with me about some of your favorite stories, past stories, your first untold story of Central Minnesota. Here's to going forward.
Thank you.